working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO. After 1 year, no, actually 8 months, Jason Redd's finally in the studio. Anyway, we're going to do our grain and our weather first, and then we'll get to Jason right after the first break. We're going to talk about the bull sale coming up at Elk City this weekend. All kinds of things going on. Yeah, matter of fact, speaking of the bull sale, I didn't know it wasn't in my contract when I signed on here, but I got on-air duty at the expo this weekend. They throw that in me in the same week of what it happens, so I got to renegotiate my contract. So anyway, 64 degrees, southeast winds at 4 miles an hour, humidity's at 39 degrees, but... percent, not degrees, percent. But we are under a wind advisory until 8 o'clock tomorrow night, and we're under a fire weather watch until 9 o'clock tomorrow night. More of those details coming up for you later on. Well, first of all, let's check some markets. Looks like oil's going down, which is good. Live cattle and feeder cattle are going down, which is not good. Live cattle, April, 140.12. June, 136.35. August, 137.05. October, 143.65. Feeder cattle for March is down a little bit, 156.12. April, 160.80. Lean hogs are up, 108.35 for April. May, 119.60. Lean hogs for June, 126.75. Cotton, 136 a pound. 130, that's $1.36 a pound. Anyway, let's check out some cash grain prices real quick. Get to them. There we go. Cash grain prices in Oklahoma as of 11 o'clock. Everything's down across the board on soybeans, milo, corn, wheat. Hard red winter wheat is $9.95. Corn is $7.47, milo $7.15, and soybeans $15.82. Wheat futures plunged in overnight trading as investors who held bullish bets liquidate positions on the prospects of talks between Ukraine and Russia. Ukrainian officials have said they're willing to discuss becoming a neutral state ahead of another round of talks with Russia. Russia attacks continued for the 33rd straight day. Talks have been slow in what headway, a little bit of headway has been made, though the sides are set to meet in Turkey tomorrow, according to several media reports. Soybean and corn also were lower in overnight trading. Of the planting intentions report from the USDA is scheduled out for the Thursday. So anyway, if it don't rain, it's not going to be good anyway. The grain stocks report also will be released Thursday. Prices were also lower because some rain is expected this week in parts of the Midwest. Precipitation will focus on the southeastern corner of the Corn Belt, though wetness is expected to the east prior to early corn planting. Wheat for May delivery plunged 39 cents to $10.63 a bushel overnight on the Chicago Board of Trade. Kansas City dropped 35 and a quarter to $10.75 a bushel. Soybean futures for delivery fell 15 and three quarter cents to $16.94 a bushel. Soy meal was down $3.60 to $4.84.30 a short ton, and soybean oil futures lost 0.61 cents to $74.14 a pound. Corn futures for May delivery was down 10.5 cents to $7.43.5 a bushel. Well, we're going to take a short break. I'm going to get back. Mr. Jason Redd's in the studio with us. We'll talk about the bull sale coming up this Saturday right here in Elk City at the Southwest Expo. Did I say that right? Home Expo. There we go. Farm Expo. Farm and Home Expo. I got it right the last time. Anyway, If it ain't in front of me during the show, I don't memorize stuff very good. Anyway, we'll be right back. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
If you're a farmer or rancher, you rely on a business that can help you get the things you need fast so you can get back to work. Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisei, Oklahoma is that business. They carry farm equipment, oil-filled cattle guards, and fencing supplies. How about a cattle chute or hay trailer? They've got them. You need welding supplies? They've got that too. Learn more at everettswelding.com or see their ad inside the Penny News. That's Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisei, Oklahoma.
Is being an agent for Farm Bureau Insurance similar to farming in a sense?
Oh, very much so. You know, I think you've heard me say all the time, I'm available anytime. And I think in the farming world, you're available anytime. You know, you work long hours. You don't ever know what you're going to be doing the next day. You may wake up in the morning and think, I'm going to go plow, and someone calls and says, hey, your cows are out. And insurance is that way a lot. You know, I may come to the office and think, well, today I've got to get this done, and a storm hits the night before and your gears change and you're taking care of your customers. Farm work is hard. You know, people talk about, you know, farming and crops and things like that. That's a gamble. You know, we do crop insurance here, and I try to help secure their assets on that part of it. So that's just another phase of what we do to try to help our farming community. I'm Mickey Lively with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
Red Angus offers superior marbling. One of the top breeds for marbling, yes.
If a steak has marbling, it means what?
It's going to be tender and it's going to taste good.
That's where the flavor comes. That's right. Where the tenderness comes, right?
Yes. Good steak. Benji White, B&L Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com on Facebook. Follow us at B&L Red Angus.
Lori White, B&L Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com. You can find us on Facebook by searching B&L Red Angus.
Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyard's weekly cattle sale. It's located on Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
The Day in Ag is back with Jimmy Clark.
Welcome back. It is 64, maybe 65. Yep, 64 degrees. The winds are out of the south right now at 3 miles an hour, and they are scheduled to start picking up here after a while. So enjoy what you got right now. Well, Mr. Red, thanks for coming in the studio.
Hey, no problem. No problem.
And I keep waiting for Brent to walk around the corner to throw water on you or something.
You know, when Brent said, hey, Jimmy, why don't you come on the show? I said, then why'd he call you? I said, I think he wanted you on the show. And he said, no, he wants you. So here I am. You're stuck with me.
Yeah, I mean, Brent talks good electricity. I wanted you to come in here and talk about the bulls. Well, anyway, it's the 38th Annual Southwest Farm and Home Expo. And looks like you got a full house on the bulls.
We do. You know, last couple of years, it's been a little short. We try to limit it to 50 bulls.
Right.
You know, I mean, there's 50 pens back there, and you can go a few more, but catching them back can get pretty tough when the sale's really churning.
Right.
So we try to limit it to 50. Past couple of years, we've had 46, right around there, and which has been nice for us having to work the pens.
Right.
But this year, there was a lot of interest in it. We wound up and of course, I don't know who all is tested out, but I know 53 was our final number this year. And we had to turn some people back, several people back.
Well, that's a good thing.
You know, it's great. It's great for us. We enjoyed all the money we make on this bull sale. We not all of it, but we use it for our scholarships. There's Southwest Farm and Home Expo. We do scholarships every year to a senior that's going into an ag degree, an ag major. So that's where the money for that bull sale, we like to use it for it. But so the more bulls we have, the more money we can give.
Well, you remember what the average was last year?
That's what I asked Susie, and we talked about it, and then I completely forgot to look it up. But it was I want to say is over that five mark.
Okay.
You know, well, it's probably 4 to 5 is probably where it was.
And that's where they all kind of been this year,
yeah.
4 to 6.
Yeah.
And which is one of the guys says, I don't know where these farmers or ranchers are getting their money, but they must needed a new bull.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and that's, you know, this time of year, what we, I think timing-wise on our sale is if you're needing a bull to turn out beginning of April,
yeah.
this is your last shot.
This is.
So it, we used to get a lot of buyers come out and a lot of repeat buyers, a lot of repeat consigners also. We've got some guys that they come, and gals that just, they come every year. We just know they're going to bring them.
Right.
And it does really well. It works great for us, and we enjoy it as a committee. We really enjoy the bull sale.
Yeah, because I was looking in the Penny News before you got here a while ago, and the bull sales are just about done. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's some good bull sales left. Don't get me wrong. There's some good bull sales. But, you know, 15th of April is right around the corner.
Yep.
And I know you hear, like, on social media, if you get on that Oklahoma cattle, and there's some guys in there, I'm not going to breed mine till I have them calves back in March and April now, or late March. Mm-hmm. This cold weather, you can tell it's getting old.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, those, you know, the days of always having them starting in January, you know, guys like, hey, let's try February. Well, February hadn't been any friendlier to us the past couple of years either.
No.
So before long, everybody's going to have June, July calves, so they don't have to mess with the weather.
Tomorrow, I got a deal that I'm going to read up on, or read to all the listeners about, why you have them in January and February. Mm-hmm. And all these professional people that do all these experiments and analyze all that, they've been listening to my show the last couple of months because I've been talking about why I've done my heifers this way and all this and all this stuff. Well, this article, like I said, I'll have it on the show tomorrow. But, you know, there's 75 pounds difference between a February 1st calf and a March 15th calf.
Yeah.
When you take them to the sale barn.
Yeah.
I mean, or when you get ready to put them out on wheat.
Yeah.
So that's a lot of money.
It is. It is. And ag's getting to where it's a volume game.
Yeah.
And 75 pounds doesn't sound a lot, but when it is at the buck 50 range. And
yeah, buck 50 to 2.
Yeah. I mean, it adds up quick.
And when we're
when margins are tighter and tighter and tighter every year. And cattle are doing great right now, but so is fertilizer, so is fuel. Everything's doing
tractors,
good right now.
Trucks.
Yeah.
You know, so now we were talking about it before the show about this, the tornado boy. he's standing in tall cotton right now with his new truck until he went and paid his insurance.
Oh, yeah.
So, anyway, well, they got this first time I've ever seen, it might have been on there, but this is the first time I've ever seen Jared Brown on there. That's good. I like to give him credit. He will not come on the show because he thinks I'm gonna bring up something. I don't know what it is, but I wouldn't do that. But
well, he probably knows what it is if he's it's something.
Well, you got a great list of breeders, talking about Jared Brown, John Mollett, Boswell Cattle Company. He's there every year. Mm-hmm. And you know, he was a golfer.
I did.
Did you?
I did.
Yeah.
I saw him the other day, and that, it was cold, and he was ready for warmer weather.
So anyway, Mahler, M&J Farm, and got some more there.
Yep. Yeah, you've got Rockin' PB Angus. He's there every year. Good animals. Atkinson's are there. Cusel down at Fort Cobb. Anybody's looking for a limousine or Limflex. And LC Price, he's going to have a few in this year. Price Farms, Dameron's.
Mr. Dean.
Yep. Mark Armitage. He's been coming out past couple years. So.
Then Lonigan, Randy.
Yep.
And 6 Mile Creek. Who's that?
You know, I believe they came out last year. It was the first year. They're out of Yukon. They brought the Herefords out of there.
Yep.
And then Diamond J. They're up at Beaver. MC and Becky, they've been coming since, and I was telling you this, I was in high school up in Scott Robinson in the bullpens during the Farm and Home Expo, and they were there, and they get the same three pens every year. Oh, yeah, we just know they're there, so. But, yeah, we've got a good, I mean.
Chris Black, he's going to be there.
Yep.
And Black Hartford Ranch, so there's going to be some, so what did you say, 53?
53 is what we have, yeah, 51, 53, So there's going to be 30 Angus. We've got 13 Herefords are going to be out, which, you know, you want to add a little chrome to your black calf crop.
Right.
You know, it's good cross. So we're excited. Like I said, we had a lot of people interested in the bull sale this year, so we'd like to have more pens, but that just requires more work. So
well, you know what? 54 is probably, or 50 is probably a good number, because mm-hmm. you start getting at a consignment. It's not a consignment. It's where a bunch of people are coming in, just not one breeder. Yeah. You start getting around 60, 70 mm-hmm. bulls, that's when the bargain starts.
And that's the deal. That's one thing that comes up every year is we feel like 50 is a good number where the sales prices pretty much stay consistent through the whole sale. You don't have that burnout there towards the end,
right?
Where you know you're able to just pick them up for nothing. I mean, if you're wanting them, you better get ready to put your hand up.
Yeah, and I'll wait. Like Jason said when he started, it's April.
it's April. So if they're needing them, and we have several guys, they buy every year, and I mean they'll buy five or six at a time. I mean they don't go to any other bull sales; they just show up to this one. So if you're wanting to pick up one or two, you better get ready to. To participate.
Do you give any loans out while you're there?
I can. I can.
Hey, one stop shop.
Yeah. Hey, we start up a bank booth there in the corner, and I can go up the First National booth up there on top and start loaning money after the bull sale. So
it don't get any better.
I know.
That.
We can do that.
See, now you won't even have to tell your wife what the check was for till she gets the loan papers in the mail. What's this for? Equipment.
It's equipment. It's equipment.
What do you think? You think it's going to be a good sale?
I think it will be. Just like the other bull sales I've seen, they're pretty hot this year, and the market's kind of holding its own. And if I was kind of hoping we'd get some good rain between now and then. If we can get some rains in the middle of March around there, that bull sale usually does really well.
Yeah.
Everybody's just, they get that green grass fever and they're ready to turn out.
Yeah, you know, everything going on right now with the Ukraine
mm-hmm.
and that Russian deal going on.
Yeah.
I just, you know, it is, everybody just kind of, what's it going to do?
Yeah, they're it's kind of sitting idle, kind of what they're afraid to jump out there and do anything because you don't know what's going to happen right now.
Right. You don't know.
But one thing you can guarantee is a good bull makes up 50% of your calf crop.
Yeah.
So you're going to have to have one.
And you're not going to have one without him.
Yeah. So you're going to have to have him.
So, because I need to find out what those four bulls was I borrowed from Kip Hart to breed my heifers, because I ended up with 85% bull calves.
Well, hey.
And then two of my bulls down here, one of them's a Kephart bull down at Willow, and the other one's come out of some cattle. He got me, wasn't Kephart cattle, and we're running 100% bull calves down there this year.
Well, hey, you can't beat that.
No, and next year it'll be all heifers.
No, it's, you know, when we're working cattle or something, you sit there and it feels like you cut calves all day long, and then you start counting, it's just about a 50-50 drop. But it's having that kind of percentage, that's awesome.
It's never happened to me. Usually it's 40% or less mm-hmm. on the bull calves for me, and the rest of it's been heifers. I don't even have any replacement heifers this year. So sometime or another, I'm going to be coming seeing somebody say, hey, you got any
heifers?
You got any heifers out of them bulls I sold you?
Yeah.
Jason, what time's the bull sale start?
Bull sale, it starts at 1. Not yet. 2. What is it? 2 o'clock. I was thinking 1. It starts at 2 o'clock. All the bulls, they'll be trick tested, semen tested. If they're younger than 18 months, they'll have a virgin bull statement. So everything, health papers, everything's good to go. Yep. So all that'll be ready.
When can they start seeing the bulls?
Bulls will start. They can come Saturday morning. Be the most convenient for everybody. The bulls start showing up Friday about noon.
Right.
And so, of course, everybody's getting their pens ready. They're setting up their water. So there's a lot going on. But, yeah, first thing Saturday morning, bright and early.
Looks like it's going to be a good weekend, too.
Yeah, man, the weather, it looks like it's going to be nice.
Yeah, after, I think, Wednesday, it's starting to warm right back mm-hmm. up and wait for the next round of rain next week, which I hope we do get.
Yeah.
And any questions, who do they call?
They can call me. 580-339-1280. Now everybody's got my cell phone. And then, or they can call the chamber. Susie down there at chamber, 580-225-0207. And if you want to get on the list to get the paperwork to consign bulls next year, get a hold of Susie. We'll get you on the list.
Better jump.
And it is. When we send that stuff out, we'll have guys come in and prepay before stuff's even sent out, just so they can get the spots.
Yep. Well, so that means it's popular.
It's great. Like I said, past couple of years is a little low when we were wondering what the deal was, but this year it's exciting.
It's called COVID.
Yeah. Yep. Everybody's out.
It's called the pandemic.
Yep.
And everything's going, and it looks like got lots of good sponsors in here too.
We do, and that's another thing. Our sponsors, you know, the bull sale bill, you know, they all their sponsor money helps pay for that, and of course, like any, you know, small town civic group or event like this, that's what it takes is volunteers and the community to make it all work like it's supposed to. So I'm lucky to have a good group of guys on the committee and gals and. And they sure make it fun and makes it a lot easier than it probably
You actually
probably
do, don't you? Mm-hmm. You got Larry Long, Melanie Cummins, Randy Dupree, Jason Simon, Ridge Lawrence. I know that guy.
You know Ridge?
Yeah, I know Ridge. Yeah, and then Kathy Giblet, Dustin Burrow, Brent Matter, I know him, mm-hmm. Kathy Smith, Teresa Smith. That David Meisner.
Oh, David Meisner.
Meisner. Yep. I knew. I'd mess that up. What are you laughing about in there, sir? And Dusty Davis, yourself, Jimmy Smith, Randy Smith, and Cody Kiplett. I guess they can call any of those guys.
Yeah, call any of them. And if one of us don't know the answer, then we can get you in the right direction. And this year, our chairman's Kenneth Hart.
I just looked above there and I was going, how could I miss
co-chairman Spencer Smith? But no, like I said, I've got a great group of people on this committee and they make it great. And of course the chamber, Susie down there, and they it turns into a well-oiled machine.
Yeah, Susie and them, they do a good job.
We always tease, we're just the manual labor. Just tell us what to do, where we need to be there, and what do you want done, and by God, we'll do it.
I call bull on that. I think it's just the only time of the year you guys get to wear a cowboy hat.
Yeah, I can skip work for a few days and go out there and actually get to do some work. So.
Well, Jason, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
I had Jason Redd on here with the bull sale with the Southwest Farm and Home Expo this weekend. It's called the All Breed Bull Sale, and they actually got a pretty good lineup in here. So if you're still looking for a bull, come on. There might be one there you can't live without.
Can't live without.
So come on down. Thanks again.
Hey, thank you.
We'll be right back after this. It's Today in Ag.
This is the Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, March 18th. 1,025 head were sold. 4 head of steers at 351 brought 216. 12 at 500 brought 197. 5 at 534 brought 158. 10 at 738 brought 158. 8 at 785 brought 149. 7 head of heifers at 366 brought 199. 4 at 455 brought 179. 8 at 554 brought 158.50. 11 at 700 brought 143. 3 at 1092 brought 110. Butcher cows were 35 to 106. Butcher bulls 90 to 128. Bred cows were 750 to 1135. Pairs brought 1100 to 1485. Elk City Livestock Auction, 3202 South Highway 6, Elk City, Oklahoma. Sale every Friday at 9 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
It's known as the thief in the night. A lack of cattle mineral can lead to decreased weaning weights, small, weak calves, and severely compromised health. Don't let a gap in your feeding program rob your herd's performance. Stop by Farmers Union Co-op in Elk City and pick up a bag of Purina Wind and Rain Storm Mineral today. Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City is your authorized Purina dealer.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
Ron Hayes here. Here's what the good folks are saying about SEI Agritech's Livestock Nutrition Center's feed and minerals.
Hi, this is Ty Ford. I'm a local cattle rancher, and I buy my feed with Kent Watkins at SEI Agritech in Elk City. He's a Livestock Nutrition Center authorized distributor, and they have been very helpful in developing a program for feeding out our butcher steers. We use his starter and finisher rations on our steers, and we have had great results and great feedback from our repeat customers.
Located on South Randall, visit SEI Agritech in Elk City.
Jim is all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
Well, thanks again, Jason, for stopping by and talking about the bull sale, just having a conversation what goes on out there every year and what's going on in the real world. If anybody needs one of the catalogs for the bulls, he left me about 8 or 10. I'm going to put them up in the front office at the south end. If you need one, you're more than welcome to stop by here and grab one and have one in advance. They'll be right up front, and Tara will let you have one. It is 66 degrees. Humidity's 36. The winds are 4 miles an hour out of the south, gust up to 8 miles an hour. We are under a wind advisory until 8 o'clock tomorrow night and a fire weather watch until 9 o'clock tomorrow night. It sounds like she's going to get breezy tomorrow. So anyway, I'll have your Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast coming up for you later on in the show. First of all, let's talk about sell barns. Currently right now, the Western Oklahoma livestock sale is going on at their East Clinton. Brandon will send me an update on the Elk City and the one today, tonight, and I'll fill you guys in on that in the morning on my 7 a.m. and 10 a.m. ag update and talk about it at show tomorrow. But summaries from the livestock auctions in Texas and Oklahoma. And by the way, I went to Clarendon, Texas yesterday. That's south of McLean or west of Williston, however you want to put it, but it's dry out there too. It's terribly dry. That lake next to the course out there, I don't know if it's it doesn't look quite as bad as Lugard, but it's close. So anyway, they're dry out there too. So hopefully that dry line, the weather people mess the dry line up tomorrow and it happens way out there by Amarillo and we get some rain through Western Oklahoma and the Eastern Texas Panhandle tomorrow. So anyway, Texas, they was 5,934 heads sold. 80% of them was feeders. 16% of them was slaughters. And lower 3% of them were replacement cattle. And that was compared to 6,803 the week before. Let's just go through some numbers here. I'll read them off. Steers in the average weight 328 were bringing 206 to 218. 429 was bringing anywhere from 193.50 to 210. 500 weights, 531 average weight was bringing 165 to 181. 6 weight, 640 was bringing a buck 55, and then were unwinged. And 7 weight steer 701 was bringing $1.63. And 800 pounds were bringing anywhere from 143 to 152. In Oklahoma, compared to last week, feeder cattle and calves sold mostly steady for the week. Demand was moderate to good for all classes. Rain fell across much of the state this past week and putting somewhat of a dent in the drought. Temperatures expected to warm up in the mid-80s this weekend. And some of these areas in the southwest are expecting to hit 90 today, but I don't think we're going to get there. But more rain in the forecast early tomorrow and then again early next week. Slaughter cows sold mostly steady. $3 lower on breaker cows. Slaughter bulls were $2 higher. Demand good for cows. There was 23,055 heads sold last week in Oklahoma. And that was compared to 29,980 the week before, compared to 28,000 a year ago today. Feeder cattle made up 92% with 21,000 of them. Slaughter cow was 7%, 1,625 head. And there was a little less than 1.5% of those sold were replacement cattle. So we have, let's look at some 330 weights here in Oklahoma. 330, 195 to 235. 427s bring anywhere from 185 to 227. Five weights, we had some 525 weights, was bringing 180 to 221. And then we had some six weights, was bringing anywhere from 156 to 196.75. So cattle market is just hanging in there. Well, it's kind of funny that that name Breakers come up in that cattle report there. I had a gentleman ask me last week what the difference is how they were, how cows, slaughter cows were graded. So I know there's a lot of people out there that don't quite understand the cattle market, but I'm going to help you out here. Cull cows are a valuable part of the beef industry. The beef audits have generally shown that cull cows, bulls, and cull dairy cows make up about 20% of the beef available for consumption in the United States. And this report come out of the Oklahoma State University Extension Cattle Reproduction. Cull cows are a valuable part of the beef industry. The beef audits have generally shown that cull cows, bulls, all that good stuff come from a 10% of the beef supply comes from the cull beef cows. The revenue from cull cows can also be important to the ranch's operating budget. Whether culling because of drought or to improve the productivity of the herd, it's important to understand the values placed on cull cows intended for harvest. The USDA Market News Service reports on four classes of cull cows. The four classes are divided primarily on fatness. The highest condition cull cows are reported as breakers. They usually are quite fleshy and generally have excellent dressing percentages. Body condition score 7 and above are required to be breakers. The next class is more moderate condition group of cows called boners or boning utility. These cows usually would fall in the body condition score grades of 5 to 7. Many well-nourished commercial beef cows would be graded as boners. The last two groups of the cows are reported by the market news, such as leans and lights. These cows are very thin body. Body condition score 1 to 4. They are in general expected to be lower in dressing percentage than the fleshier cows and are more easily bruised while being transported than our cows with better body condition. Lights are very thin cows that are very small and would have very low, less than 500-pound hot carcass weights. Lean and lights are nearly always lower in price per pound than boners. Lights often bring the lowest price per pound because the amount of sellable product is small, and while the overhead cost of harvesting processing are about the same as the larger, fleshier cows. Producers that sell cull cows should pay close attention to the market news report about the price of differentials of the cows in these classes. Cull cows that can be fed enough to gain body condition to improve from the lean or light class to boner class can gain weight and gain in value per pound at the same time. Seldom, if ever, does this situation exist anywhere else in the beef industry. Therefore, if possible, market your cull cows while they are still good enough condition to fall in that boner grade. If cows are being culled while very thin, consider short-term dry lot feeding to take them up in weight and up in grade. This usually can be done about 50 to 70 days with excellent feed efficiency. Rarely does it pay enough to move the cow to the breaker class. This is a very little, if any, price advantage of the breakers over boners, and cows lose feed efficiency if fed that degree of fatness. So you guys hear me on Tuesdays, or basically probably Wednesday mornings when I'm talking, reading Jerry Nine's report. Jerry, Woodward Livestock Auction, they break it down with the breakers, the boners, and then the leans. So now you know what it means when I say that and why the prices are different. So there you have it. Well, I'll be right back after this, and I'll have the Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger Forecast for you. It's a day in ag on 96.5 KECO.
From sunup till sundown, we know your irrigation equipment needs to be as hardworking as you, because we all know a farmer's job is never done. Valley is your strength in the field. We're the Everyman brand. No matter your operational setup, we have the irrigation equipment and technology to move you forward. Valley products are built to last, easy to operate, and ahead of the curve. Durable, reliable, and built tough. This is Valley.
Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, or online at knutsonirrigation.com.
This hour's weather brought to you by Hobart Farm and Garden. Complete nutrition for every animal, that's what you'll find in Hi-Pro Feeds. At Hi-Pro, their commitment to nutrition is unwavering. Buy the best and get the most out of every animal. Hobart Farm and Garden in Hobart, Oklahoma is your local Hi-Pro Feeds dealer. Providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, or sacks. See their ad in the Penny News and check them out on Facebook. See all they have to offer at HobartFarmAndGarden.com. That's HobartFarmAndGarden.com.
I've seen a lot of industries come and go. The ag sector is a basis for Western Oklahoma. We do ag real estate, cattle loans, crop loans, to purchase cows or to purchase stalkers for wheat or grass. We do operating loans for seasonal needs, to buy feed, purchase fertilizer, purchase seed, buy hay and feed for the winter. I'm Monty Carlson, and I help make a difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
This is Jerry Nunn, owner of the Woodward Livestock Auction. For sale last Tuesday, March the 22nd, we sold 300 cows, bulls, and kids. Thursday, March the 24th, we sold 2,187 kids and feeders for a total of 2,487 cattle for the week. Tuesday, better killing cows bring 88 to 94.50. Thin cows bring 76 to 90. Bulls bring in 85 to 117.50. 2 to 4 year old bred cows, 1060 to 1150. 2 to 8 year old pairs, 1310 to 1575. Our steer cattle, 4 to 450 steer, 224 to 227, 5 to 550, 207 to 221, 6 to 650, 177 to 196.75, 7 to 750, 156 to 169.5, 8 to 850, 148 to 155.5, 9 to 950, 144 to 146, and 42 steers weighing 1,033 bring 134. Modern heifers, 20 heifers weighing 297 bring 205, 4 to 450, 187 to 199, 5 to 550, 145 to 153, 6 to 650, 145 up to 160, 7 to 750, 141 to 157, 11 heifers weighing 844, bring 138.5, 850 and 9 weight heifers 131 to 133, 3 heifers weighing 1,050, bring 114. Thankful for the rain, prices on everything very good with old thin cows, very thin, bringing 79, better killing cows up to 94.5. Good time to call. 98 steers, one bunch, weighing 609, bring 196.75. Some 600-pound heifers topped at 160. Another set of thin black steers weighing 517, bring 221. Again, nothing better than a good rain for a drought area. Remember, we got 14 feeder buyers there every Thursday getting you top dollar for your cattle. Thanks again, Jerry Nine at the Woodward Livestock Auction.
He loves talking about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
All right, 67 degrees. Winds are out of the southeast at 6 miles an hour, gusting up to a whopping 9 miles an hour. Humidity is 36%. Today, high 81. Tonight, 61 for a low. Tomorrow, breezy. Winds pick up tonight. Tomorrow, breezy with some wind gust up to 40, 45 miles an hour, they're saying now. 85 degrees tomorrow. Tomorrow night, 40% chance of rain. Wednesday, 40% chance of rain. Everything depending on where that dry line forms from what I'm being seeing from the professional weather people. Wednesday night, a little chilly, 36. Thursday, mostly sunny, light winds, 68 degrees. Thursday night, mostly cloudy, 44 degrees, and Friday, mostly cloudy, 74 degrees. But anyway, guys, get all ready for the Farm and Home Expo show this weekend. Not only is the bull sale going on, but they got we'll be out there all weekend. I think I'm out there on duty sometime Saturday. But come on out and enjoy the expo. It's always a good time. And support your local vendors around here. I know what I need to do. Okay, this is hot off the press from the OSU Extension Office here in Beckham County. They want you to RSVP, please. Wednesday, April 6th, That's a week from this coming Wednesday at the Beckham County Activity Center Pesticide Applicator CEU Conference. The Beckham County OSU Extension Office will be hosting that. Two classes to offer six CEUs for local producers. Each producer has the option to attend one program or both. Wednesday, April 6th at the Beckham County Activity Fair Barn in Sayre, our farmers will be hearing several OSU's brightest on different topics listed below. Looks like it's from the morning one will be from 9 to 12 p.m. Lunch, 9 a.m. to lunch. Three CEUs, weed management options in cotton, some traits in cotton, dicamba training, new herbicide technologies in grain sorghum, managing herbicide resistance in winter wheat, and late season fungicides on wheat. So anyway, the afternoon one will be for three CEUs, 1 o'clock to 4 o'clock. They've got talking about sprayer technologies and spray nozzles, weed control and pasture, managing weeds and corn, dicamba training, develop a weed management program for soybean, and weed control and peanuts. So for more information, call the Beckham County OSU Extension Office at 580-928-2139. Or you can email greg.hartman at OSU or okstateedu.edu. So there we go. okstate.edu. In other words, call the Beckham County OSU Extension. So if you need some CEUs, this is a great time to get them. All right, let's get on with the show. The bird flu. Man, is that crazy how many birds have been infected with this chickens, turkeys, the whole nine yards in the United States. For the first time, the flu was confirmed in Minnesota, which is the top turkey-producing state in the nation, said agriculture officials over the weekend. Some 14.6 million birds in domestic flocks have died from that flu, the HPAI, and culling or in culling infected herds to reduce the spread. This crazy part. The USDA said the high path bird flu was identified at a turkey farm in Meeker County, which is 50 miles west of Minneapolis, in a backyard species flock in Mower County, about 100 miles from Minneapolis. There was 300,000 turkeys on that farm. They're done. That's all there was. And 17 chickens and ducks and geese were in the flock in Mower County, according to Minnesota Associated Press. Minnesota was the 18th state with the outbreak of the HPAI. Four other outbreaks were reported over the weekend, three on turkey and egg farms in South Dakota, and one an upland game farm in New York State, according to the Animal and Plant Health Inspection Service. Separately, the Agricultural Marketing Services told organic poultry farmers that they could keep their birds indoors as a precaution against HPAI, which can be spread by wild birds and their droppings. Man, it's crazy. I'll get the total of the birds killed so far, have died from this outbreak in the United States in the last month, but it's way in the millions. It's crazy. So anyway, hope they don't come to this state, but you don't know. It's spread by those crazy birds going everywhere. Well, also on back to Ukraine from earlier in this morning, the Ukraine's new agriculture minister on Saturday said Ukraine's ability to export grains is getting worse by the day and would only improve if the war with Russia ends. Of course, rumors have it they're supposed to be talking tomorrow, but we'll see if that happens. The Ukraine agriculture guy said that Ukraine would probably be exporting 4 to 5 million tons of grain per month, but right now they are doing just a few hundred thousand tons. The impact on the global market is direct, dramatic, and large, and it continues. Every day, the situation will become more and more difficult. So, anyway, man, hopefully something gets done over there. Because we got a young lady that's come home to Canute, Oklahoma, Kelsey. She's home from that area over there. Her husband wasn't allowed, but she got the kids, and they're over here. Hopefully one of these days I can get her on the radio and talk about her experience, what's going on in the Ukraine area. So it's not a good deal. So beef, dairy beef numbers are actually up. They're scheduled to reach 500,000 head this year. From the 70s through 2012, it was common for U.S. dairy farmers to raise all their heifer calves. Many would keep 25 to 35% of those calves for replacements in their own herds and would sell the rest as springing or fresh heifers to other dairy cattle who were expanding their herds or needed replacements. The heifers created a nice cash crop for producers looking for additional revenue stream. Some dairy farmers keep their bull calves and raise dairy steers, and some raise both dairy steers and dairy heifers. But as more dairy producers began using sex semen to increase their numbers on heifer calves about a decade ago, there became a glut of dairy heifers. The market for dairy replacement heifers all but dried up, and so did the additional revenue stream. Some turned to raising dairy steers, usually Holsteins and some Jerseys, but some dairy farmers began breeding the bottom 20 to 50% of their cows to AI beef bulls, often using Angus Limousine or Angus Limousine crossbred semen. The resulting calves are black, look more like beef cattle than dairy cattle, and bring about $100 per calf more than a newborn Holstein bull calf. That also brings more of a finished cattle than Holstein or Jersey steers. Fast forward 10 years, and the USDA estimates the number of dairy beef cattle in the nation beef herd will reach 500,000 head this year. While that number is nothing to sneeze at, Kelly Riley, a Wisconsin native who's president of the Angus Genetics Incorporation in St. Joe, Missouri, notes there are about 30 million beef cows in the United States. We're not adding more animals to the beef supply chain. We are just now replacing a source of animal with higher quality beef animals. These beef dairy crosses are new cattle. Historically, they're 35% of prime cattle were coming from Holstein. Are they going to replace your cow-calf producers? No. But now dairy producers are putting a more consistent product on the plate of consumers compared to the straight-bred dairy steer. Another issue dairy farmers faced 10 years ago was one of the big four national packers said it was not going to kill Holstein steers anymore. That's not what all the processors did, but it did diminish the value of the dairy steer because the buyer was taken away. Dairy farmers are in a very better spot today. How have dairy beef impacted what AGI does? They said, we're focused on helping producers identify the right bulls to use on those dairy animals and help Angus producers create those solutions. It used to be, let's get a black calf. So the idea of cleaning out the semen tank has been replaced with using the right Angus bull on a dairy cattle to get the right genetics. So there you have it. They're changing their ways, and a lot of people are having to change their ways and get in on that bottom line, so you never know what's going on there. Let's see here. There we go. Last thing of the day before we have to leave all you guys. There seems to be a disconnect in the flow of information regarding inflation. Yes, I know that's an understatement, but what I'm referring to is how many of the mainstream media quickly equate increasing input costs at the farm or ranch level to the prices consumers pay for food. While I'm not saying there isn't a connection, it's not a one-to-one relationship that occurs immediately. The example that comes quickly to mind is the sharply escalating price of fertilizer. I have read numerous stories about how the consumers will be paying for higher food prices due to higher fertilizer prices. I am sure there will be a few complaints from farmers if the market worked accordingly. Input costs go higher, and the farmer immediately gets higher prices for his crop as a result. As we know, that is not how the market works in the agriculture industry. Yes, consumers may pay more in the supermarket, but I really doubt if the farmer necessarily receives a higher price for his crop, simply because the price of a major input rose sharply, at least in the short term. The prices of crop are tied to the supply of the demand for the crop in that market, not the cost of inputs. However, if the cost of inputs becomes the limiting factor to production, then the connection to crop prices becomes more apparent. At that point, it could be said the sharply rising cost of inputs to produce a crop are more closely tied to the prices consumer are paying. Well, I'm going to stop right there because Jason made something before, Red said something before the show come on. We were talking about this, cost of beef, cost of farming, cost of fuel, cost of fertilizer. And, you know, this was a good time for wheat farmers through the wheat belt, right through the wheat belt, northern Texas, all the way through western Oklahoma, or west part of Oklahoma, all the way up into Kansas. That's your wheat belt. This would have been a great time for us to finally start making some money because wheat's gone up there because of all kinds of different reasons. Well, of course, all this happens and we're in a drought. That's not to say we're not going to make any wheat yet. But it ain't going to be a bumper crop, I can tell you right there. So just think about that. You know, it was a good time that finally farmers can put some cash in his pocket. And it ain't going to happen because of the lack of rain, Mother Nature offsetting it. There seems to be either a lack of knowledge about the food production or the desire to make supply chain linkages much simpler than in this case. Of course, I've stated that food security has become a given. Markets have become more global. Much more global, and global trade has increased, particularly for those countries with a competitive advantage for producing some crops or inputs. Think Ukraine and wheat production or fertilizer in Russia over the past 30 days, like I just said. So anyway, it's just dang if you do, dang if you don't out here in the agriculture world, in the ag world. So anyway, I'm glad you guys were here to join me again on this Monday, and really happy you guys did. So I want you guys to have a great day. God bless. You've been listening to Day in Ag on 96.5 KECO.